got a lot of examples this morning that I've cleared with my kids. I'm not paying them to use them as an illustration. But I may be disqualified to lead in this area after this morning. Let me just throw this thing up here really quick. This is my little village here. If you want to really get to know people in your group, or just like if you're not in a community group here, if you've been invited by somebody, if you just want to go with neighbors, if you want to really get to know somebody, go camping with them, because nothing ever goes the way you think it'll go. It's always too cold, too hot. Your kids are rolling around in ant beds, all that stuff. So we have been together for, I don't know, seven years. And so all these kids, I think there's 16 kids in there. There's four girls. So I'm always like, dude, to my kids, my boys, I'm like, she's quality. You need to treat her nice, okay? But a lot of these kiddos, we started when they were kindergartners right now, and they're in seventh grade. So we've literally kind of raised these kids together, not perfectly by any means. If you, something Kyle Johnson, I always talk about, my oldest, he thinks he runs this place. He tells people at the Dallas campus that I'm the campus pastor here. He's looked at Liz Johnson and gone, hey, you know who my dad is, right? When he's trying to get pizza. So look, there's a lot of ground to take as a parent, okay? We're not doing everything right, but when he says things like, hey, Liz, I need pizza because you know who my dad is, we take that to community and we say, what do you think would be an appropriate response to Jackson Berry with all that stuff? So 16 kiddos, four girls, 12 boys, and we've four of them, like I said, are the same age. They've kind of all started the same. Luke is kind of the outlier. Where is Luke Allmeyer up there? Way up there at the very top. He is right now in ninth grade, so we're getting to experience all of high school. It's a lot of fun. So here is I think why, whether you're in a community group or just how you think through, how do I surround myself with other people in life where I'm not doing this alone? I think one of my key community, doing parenting in community verses has nothing to do with community, and it has nothing to do with parenting. And it's this, it's the only promise about marriage in the New Testament. It's probably not what comes to your mind, but here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 7:28. But those who marry will face troubles in life. And I want to spare you of this. That's literally the only promise about marriage in the New Testament. Okay, there's a lot of, hey, it's great and blah, 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 blah. But here's the deal. Here's why that's true. One, you know, you're not single-minded anymore, right? You got to think about your spouse. You got to think about your kids. But essentially, if you're choosing to get married, right, there are now two sinners that are trying really hard to die to self and put their spouse's interests in front of their own. And here's how that's connected to parenting. Okay, not only are there two sinners in a marriage that are trying to die to self, which is really hard, now you have a lot of little sinners who are not trying to die to self. And so two sinners who are trying to die to self are trying to parent all these little sinners that are not trying to die to self. Okay? They are living in a me-centered world. And so all the more reason we need help in the way we parent our kids. Here's what has happened in my house over the last month. My almost 13-year-old in about a month, we've hit that stage where he was in my face and in my wife's face, pointing his finger, I hate you, you're the worst parents, and runs and boom, slams the door. And I'm like, people told me this day would come. Okay. And so what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do when that happens? It may not look exactly like that, but it'll look something like that. Because I think what I've learned, and I'm only 13 years, I'm looking at Steve Day back there. I'm looking at a bunch of guys out here that could go, hey, they're probably more qualified to give this talk than I am. But here's what I learned having almost a 13-year-old, and I, you know, four kids total. Your kids are always going to be in a me-centered stage. I mean, and so if it's not, I hate you, slamming the door, you're going to have a 2-year-old that's throwing a temper tantrum. You're going to have a 3-year-old that's going, no, you're going to have a kid in whatever stage that is going to be me-centered until Jesus starts to take ground in that kid's heart. And I'm telling you, if you are doing that by yourself or with your spouse, it's going to be hard. So here's the big picture of my talk today, and I'm going to break it down in a lot of different subpoints. This will not be a surprise to you, but to state the obvious, parenting is better with counsel. Okay, everything's better with counsel. Everything's better with godly counsel. Pick any one of your proverbs that talks about this. But, you know, for lack of counsel, a nation falls, but many advisors make victory sure. Proverbs 15:22. 12:15 is another one that says almost the exact same thing. And here's what I see when I talk to parents. There are a lot of parents. If you are married in here, how many of you have a wife that has read something on parenting in the last 6 months? Okay, yes. Okay, how many of you have read something on, I'm not going to raise my hand because I don't think I have. How many of us have read something on parenting in the last 2 months? Okay, way to go. Keep it up. Here's the problem with books. Here's the problem with blogs. Yeah, here's the problem with podcasts. They're great. Okay, is my kid on track? That's a great podcast. Here's the problem with those avenues of media is they don't have eyes on your kids. And so you are trying to take principles out of that and go, okay, what do I do with this principle and how do I apply this to my kid? My 4 kids could not be more different. You know, and so here's the value in people looking at your kids and going, hey, here's what I think the next move should be. So essentially, your perspective's limited. Okay, the podcast's perspective limited. You need to get a larger perspective outside of you and your spouse, or else you will go crazy. Okay. Has anybody in here been at wit's end? I mean, like literally my son did that, we're looking at each other like, okay, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word does what? Who knows how to fend? Stirs up anger. So we're looking at each other like, that was wheels off. Well, I think we did pretty good responding to gentleness, you know? As your blood pressure just like boom, 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 you know? So, we have a limited perspective that just podcasts and books and blogs don't help with, which is why we need people. So here's kind of the first subpoint under just a large no-brainer of everything's better with counsel, parenting's better with counsel. Community drives others' presence in your parenting life. So community drives others' presence in community life. Okay. You need people with their eyes on your kids so they can help you with counsel. There's one of our key community verses, which is used in every wedding, but it's not about weddings, is at Ecclesiastes 4. And so let me just make kind of another observation about this, you know, and that just says, look, if someone falls down, the other can help them up, you know, two, when they lay down, can stay warm, but how can one stay warm alone? And then it talks about being overpowered. Though one may be overpowered, two can avenge themselves. According to the strands, it's not easily tethered. All that stuff. Here's my observation about that. It's not a matter of if you're going to fall down, okay, now all those things. The question is, who's going to be present with you to help you in that? Somebody has to be, what this is inferred, somebody has to be there to pick you up when you fall down. Somebody has to be, and it's kind of creepy thinking about, somebody's got to be next to you, laying next to you, you're going to freeze to death. Okay, somebody's got to be present with you when somebody's going to try to attack you and overpower you. Somebody has to be present. They are God's provision for you. And so how are people going to be present for you and with your kids in a way that's going to be helpful, in a way that they can pick you up, keep you warm, fight off the attacker? And so as you think about how do you surround yourself with people that have eyes on your kids? Let me ask you guys a question. How many people in here saw their parents live in deep community, like grown up? Like their parents, they had the same friends over. You know, their friends were super close with you. Did anybody see that model growing up? Okay, yeah, me either. I mean, I can't remember having my parents having one set of friends over. You know, when we did my mom's funeral, I was like, where are the friends here? And, you know, 9 years ago or so. And so this is not something we always talk about in parenting, that more is caught than taught. And so, look, if you could teach your kids all day long with your mouth, but if you're not modeling those things, it's not going to stick. Your kids will do what they see you doing, which is why when they raise their voice and yell, I'm like, okay, I look at my wife like, it's got to be you, right? It's not me. So we have not seen this modeled. We have not caught this from our parents. And we've got to figure out how our kids can catch this from us. And we're not just, jabbing our mouth with all this. So let me talk about what this has looked like in our group. Because the Berries have had some rough kids. They're all great, great kids. Like, the best thing ever is when other people are like, your kids are so great. You're like, I'm exhausted. You know, some of you know my daughters flush her shorts down the toilet and her, you know, I had to pay a plumber $160 2 weeks ago because she flushed a pencil down the toilet. But here's what, like our second boy, so remember, we're talking about, you've got to have people present, okay, to help you parent your kids. Our second kid is, well, we've nicknamed him Bubba for a reason. He's like stringy and tough, like a redneck. I mean, he is the tough, we almost took him to a doctor when he was two or three because we didn't know if he could feel pain. But he was the kid that you would be standing next to talking at a soccer game and you would talk to another parent for 30 seconds and you'd be like, he was a runner. Does anybody have a runner as a kid? Okay, a couple of y'all do. And you'd be like, you know, Bubba, and you're like, Bubba, Bubba, you know? And he is like, psh, way over there. He was the kid that would like run in the street, still does. He's like 10. I'm like, bro, you've got to look both ways and you're 10, right? It has been a miracle. We have said, and this is not an exaggeration, we're literally just trying to keep him alive, okay? If Jesus happens with him, perfect. But like our main goal right now with him is to keep him alive. And so that's not a hyperbole. Yeah, I wish it was. But we literally had, so we had people present in our life, okay, and specifically the two couples that pulled us aside, Les and I aside, were worn out. Like, we don't know what to do. We don't know how to get through to this kid. The Allmeyers, Mike and Shelley Allmeyer, sat us down right in Allie Martin independently. They didn't know the Allmeyers were sitting us down, and they both had the same conversation with us. Hey, you guys are doing great with Bubba, okay? But we are concerned for his life. One of the guys was like, if I'm not the watchman to you and Bubba dies, the blood's on my hands. Because look, we are concerned. And so what they did in that moment, because they had seen, and what they essentially said was, look, that kid is smart and he's working you guys. And you can't see it because you're too in it, but we see it because we're with you guys all the time. And some of you have heard that story before. I literally believe Bubba's alive today because those two families were present enough in our life. They saw how we were trying to discipline Bubba, the conversations we were trying to have, and they cared enough about us to help us parent Bubba. You know, and today, still trying to keep them alive. But like, if you go, hey, which kid, I've got two kids that at least said they've followed Jesus, they've been baptized. That is my one kid. He's 10 who, he loves serving up here in Starting Blocks. Like every time he leaves like a green classroom, he like, you will not believe these little cute kids. Like we got to read the Bible to him. That kid feels sin, you know, not perfect, but that's the first kid in my house to repent. And I'm like, dude, that kid is a byproduct of people being present in our life and loving us enough to speak into that. Okay, so that's Bubba. All to say is, look, community group may not be the right option for you, but figure out how are you going to invite people into your life that can give you feedback. So second one, community drives oneness in marriage, and oneness is essential in parenting. So I know some of you may be single parents in here. For those of us who are married, I think community has helped us more in this area than probably any of the other area, right? Jesus talks about Matthew 19:6. Look, so they're no longer two, but one flesh. What God has joined together, let no man separate. And so if you just want to go, hey, what's the big picture with marriage? It's oneness, right? What's the goal of communication, understanding? So if the goal of marriage is oneness, let no man separate. Look, your kids are doing everything because they live in a me-centered world. They are doing everything to get what they want, okay? Has anybody in the last 2 weeks been worked by their kid where you had to say, hey, did you already ask mom this? Okay, here's like, if you want to just big picture with sin in the garden, okay, sin always divides things, okay? It divides body and soul, like when you die, that was never intended to be. It's what the resurrection is so great, right? It's going to bring back these two things that never meant to be divided. But also, it's evident with our sin. Sin divides relationships. And so your kids are let no kids separate. They are doing everything they can to get what they want. And usually it is at the expense of oneness with your spouse. Okay. So one of our highlights, in our meeting schedule, our men meet weekly, our women meet probably 3 times a month. And then we as a group meet all together once a month, you know, sometimes more or less. But we kind of always have an agenda. And so that Brad and Kathleen Adams were hosting it in our group. We show up and the agenda item for the night was, hey, everybody bring one area that you and your spouse are not on the same page with. Okay. Guess what 4 of the 5 issues were? Parenting, you know? And essentially it was like, oh my gosh, everybody's on a different page here, and they're not one in the way they're thinking through how they're parenting their kid with this decision. And what's funny, the 5th couple, it kind of got back around to a parenting issue. It didn't start there. But, I mean, it was like blood, sweat, and tears with spouses that night trying to help each other get on the same page and just give perspective because we're present with parenting. And what has been great about this, I think about my own life. I'm the guy, if you love the Enneagram, I'm like a 1, and I never think I'm wrong. And I'm going to judge you even if you're right because I think I'm right. And look, that's my flesh. But I am convinced every time we show up to one of those things and we are asking people to help Leslie and I move towards oneness in this thing, my perspective is right. There have been multiple occasions where I've shown up, pleaded my case, okay, and I get outvoted 9-1. And a guy like me thinks, okay, obviously I didn't explain this well enough because if I explained it well enough, you would vote on my side, okay? But all that to say is our community has helped us with parenting get on the same page. Usually, for me, it's my perspective is wrong. They have helped me see a better perspective that's going to help us be one and parent our kids. So, people have to be present. That's a byproduct of community. It helps drive oneness, and oneness is essential in marriage. What I loved about that night where my son just went off is literally when I came back and kind of brought our community group in, it was pretty quick. It was like, hey, here's the 2 highlights of that thing, okay? Outside of like 45 minutes later, the Holy Spirit started whipping tail in that room, and he came back and was like, I'm so sorry. But the 2 best things about that conversation were, we were gentle in our response, and we were delivering the same message. My wife and I were one in that thing, and we weren't backing down because it was not comfortable for us. So it has helped us be one. Community helps parents thoughtfully discipline our kids. Community helps parents thoughtfully discipline our kids. The key word there is discipline. Here's a verse that has just wrecked my shop here. We all know this verse about sparing the rod and spoiling the child. But here, look at that. Look, that's just a metaphor for discipline. Look at what it says. Whoever spares the rod, so whoever does not discipline his child, is what another translation says, hates their children. Listen, that's crazy. If you are not disciplining your kid, you hate your kid. Okay. Now look, there's a spectrum. Do we have the spectrum thing up there? I think we do. So the key with all discipline with kids, whether they're 2 or whether they're 13, is what's their pain center? Okay. Now look, there is dysfunction on both sides of this. Okay. You can have parents that think they are legitimately disciplining their kids where they are abusing their kids. Okay. And that is out of bounds. Okay. And then you have this side over here, right? Which is, hey, my kid plays Xbox like 3 hours a day. And Johnny, we're going to take an hour away from you today. You know, and it's like, no, that is really not discipline. Okay. That's not really hitting a pain center. So how do you get in a pain center in a way that's helpful, thoughtful, and ultimately grows up your kids in the man or woman you want them to be? So here's another crazy thing that happened in our life this year. I know Daniel knows this story. And a couple of you do, but we've had the mat room back here. Does anybody know the mat room? You should be 5 or under to be in there, maybe 4 and under. My 3 boys last semester, have broken 2 bones in there. 2 kids have broken 2 bones in there. And you know, insurance, I'm like, anyway, let's not talk about that. But the first time they know they're not supposed to be in there. Okay. They're like, that is for little kids. Okay. You are at the time 12, 10, and 7. You cannot be in the mat room ever under any circumstance. We're at Raise the Mark. Okay. Praying with our group, and in runs one of my kids like, Caden's hurt. We think he broke his arm. He broke his arm. Long story short, we don't need to get into that because his 2 older brothers were wrestling in there, whatever. Okay. Okay. Fast forward to October. Okay, so that happened in August with my youngest son. Fast forward to October, we're driving up here. Anybody come to the pumpkin gospel up here? If you don't know what that is, it's where you have a pumpkin. My wife has led it the last couple of years, and you basically carve a pumpkin and help think through the gospel. The pumpkin's an illustration for the gospel. We're driving up here. I'm looking at my kids in the rearview mirror going, Mom is going to be on a microphone here. Okay. I am going to be with Caden, my 6-year-old, and Becca, my 4-year-old girl. I'm going to be with we just call them the littles. I'm going to be with the littles helping them carve a pumpkin, okay? Boys, that's Bubba and Jackson. Listen to me, 2 things, okay? Number 1, you cannot go in the mat room. What did I just say? We can't go in the mat room. Okay, great. Number 2, okay? There are families with young kids here. I want you to look around and I want you to find a family that looks like they need help, and I want you to help that family. We're here to serve people. This is not about us. What did I just say? We need to find a family to help serve. Great. What's the first thing? We can't go in the mat room. What's this? I mean, we did speaker listener literally for like 10 minutes out here. I'm out here. Leslie's doing her thing on the mic. I'm down, you know, carving the pumpkins with my kids, and out runs my 2nd boy, Bubba. Dad, what? Jackson's hurt. And I like look up, I'm scanning the territory. I'm like, has he cut himself with the pumpkin carving tool? What's going on here? And I'm like, where is he? Is he hurt? Is he bleeding? What? Oh, he got hurt in the mat room. And I didn't know what to do at that point outside of surrender everything to Jesus, you know? And out comes the door, Jackson and Shane McGill, like doing one of these, you know? And I'm like, bro, come on. Well, anyway, that's not the whole story. The whole story is we get in the car, there's a lot of gentle yet direct conversations that happen on the car ride home. And we find out that the nine-year-old, now 10-year-old Bubba, so Jackson had come to him and go, hey, let's go play in the mat room. And Bubba goes, hey, we can't. Remember, Mom and Dad told us we cannot go in there. It's off limits. Oh, I just talked to him. It's cool. We can totally go in there. They just said we could. Okay. The one thing in the Berry house we don't tolerate is lying, like, you know. So there's usually a more intense discipline for line, and I don't even know where I'm going with that. But we're like, okay, my son, if you know my son, he's like the extrovert of extroverts, okay? And that, we were a week out from the big junior high and high school Sky Ranch, what do we call it? Junior High Fall Retreat. Junior High Fall Retreat. We're like, all of his best friends were going and all that stuff. Now look, grounding kid from a church retreat at any other church would be like, thank you, right? But we were like, what's his pain center here? And we're like, you're not going to go hang out at Sky Ranch with your friends. And literally, we knew we were in the pain center when he goes, I will forfeit video games for the next 2 months. And I mean, he started like just trying to make a deal with us. And we're like, okay, this is obviously painful enough. But then, you know, the closer you get to the deal, there ended up being a financial, you know, like, hey, you've already registered for this. We've held a spot for a kid. Now there's a several hundred dollar financial problem that, you know, somebody's got to pony up on all that. So now, you know, you just start to rationalize as parents. You're like, okay, gosh, we should let him go to the church retreat, right? Like, he's going to learn good stuff. He's going to build community with his friend, blah, 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 blah. And literally, we took that to our community group, and they were like, don't you dare back down. You know, if you need to stick to your guns, look, we'll cover the cost. If this is a cost problem for you and Leslie, we'll cover the cost. You know, so now there's a pain center for them to discipline my kid. And all that to say is, he will never forget that. The fact that we are serious, you know, line is a big deal, and we love you enough to hold you back from a church retreat with your best friends. But look, in the moment, we were drifting to a way where we were going to back down on disciplining because, like, the pain center was too much for us. And our community group has helped us time and time again thoughtfully discipline our kids. You know, it's usually like, hey, here's what happened. What do you think about this? And when they're two, it's easier. When they get older, we need help. So community helps you thoughtfully discipline. Next thing, community helps you prioritize the most valuable parenting resource, which is time. Okay. We're going to pick up kind of here. So Ephesians 5 just talks about, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the use most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Here's the deal. You've probably heard it said before. Time is the only resource you cannot get more of. You cannot get it back. It is the most valuable resource. So this last time we met together, it was, hey, we've got a kid in this sport with very ungodly coaches. What do you think we should do here? And our kid is doing this sport for hours a week, okay? So it was a time issue, and what do you do when you're surrounded by non-believers, right? We've had the gymnastics thing has come up, you know, and I don't know if you've got any kids in gymnastics, but it gets intense from a time commitment. And so we have these conversations all the time because it just goes, let me ask you this. What do you hear all the time from older people? It just goes by so, I'm telling you, it's true. My kid's out of my house in 5 years, 4 years. And I'm like, he was a baby yesterday. And you know, we've had a lot of people look at her daughter who is, she looks like Simone Biles. I mean, she is jacked. And they're like, you've got to put her in gymnastics. You know, and look, if you've got your kids in gymnastics, be free. This is not about gymnastics, okay? So take any Olympic sport, okay? But I'm like, hey, if I knew, if I was guaranteed with her, she'd get a gold medal, I would not put her in there because it just goes by too fast. And it could be any sport, right? But all that to say is we are helping each other think thoughtfully about where our time goes. Because in our culture in North Dallas, we have a couple in our group that literally, they are so committed to sports, it affects their marriage. We can just see it coming. And we have said, hey, y'all have got to take some things off your plate or else you're just going to get the same thing next time. And, you know, the response was, hey, this is valuable to our family. And it's like, okay, you know, then it's not going to change. So We help each other think about our most valuable parenting resource, which is time. Community helps your kids get safe but many conflict repetitions. Look, we don't need to go on this. We talk about conflict a ton. We, our kids in our community group have had so much conflict with each other. And for the most part, they're all like really super close with each other, but it has allowed us to model. I did not grow up in a house. Who grew up in a house where your parents modeled healthy conflict resolution? Anybody? Awesome. Couple of you guys have. For the most part, 98% of us did not. And so the number one indicator in marriage, if you're going to have a successful marriage on the premarital side, is the ability to communicate and resolve conflict. And so we've got to teach our kids how to do this. Okay. I have like six or seven examples. I mean, my kid almost drowned another kid this summer because he's a fish, literally drug him underwater and held him there. That was some fun conflict resolution. We've had kids make fun of other kids. I mean, all that stuff. But we get to sit down with them and go, okay, we're not going anywhere. You guys are going to be involved in each other for a long time. We help them get the law together. Okay, what did you do? You know, and that's hard enough as an adult. For a kid, it's really hard. We're trying to help them go, here's how I contributed to the conflict. You're modeling for your kids. Hey, you need to ask them for forgiveness. I'm sorry. No, will you forgive me for holding you underwater for a minute? Will you forgive me for fill in the blank, right? So it gives our kids a ton of reps and safe reps. But not least, community helps give a past, present, and future parenting perspective. Natalie Martin is one of the girls in our group. She pops my mind first when I think about Shelley. And here's what I mean by the past. Here's the verse I thought about. It's a verse we quote a lot of time. Let us encourage each other daily as long as it's called today. So let us encourage each other. What is that with? Well, that's talking about what you have seen in the past with them, what you have seen in them. And so we think about the past there. Today, okay? So there's a present aspect so that you will not be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. A future result based on what you're doing today because of what you've seen in the past. Okay, this is a great verse that just kind of links all these together. But I think it has been the most helpful when you hear people say your kids are great. You know, we're just stuck. Like, it's just hard for us to get a good perspective. And Natalie Martin, more than anybody else, has gone, hey, I see this in your kids. You know, and you're like, you do? You know? And because it's just hard, I think, to see through the day-to-day grind with your kids. And look, you love them. But the past, it helps you get a clearer picture with your kids when people are affirming your kids, what they see in them. Present, Galatians 6:2, you know, right after, if someone's caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore them gently. And 6:1, 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and this way you fulfill the law of Christ. And look, this isn't about being caught in sin. But part of the normal Christian life is people carry your burdens with you. And if people are present, they can help you carry your kids' burdens with you. Okay? That has happened time and time again. Okay? So don't do it alone. Remember, this: the big picture is this is about everything in life with parenting is better with counsel. Okay? A future. We have four boys that just saw for the third time at school. Your body's changing, and you may, I don't know, they talk about all the sex stuff, right? STDs, they watched a video on STDs this week, oral sex in school. We got to preview all that. And so it is terrifying. If you've got kids in junior high, it is terrifying going, okay, I know what I was doing in junior high, and I don't want my kid to go down the same path. And the future piece of community has been, we have been thoughtful about, okay, how are we going to prepare our kids for everything that has to do with sex and pornography? How are we going to prepare our kids for dating? How are we going to prepare kids to read the Bible? How are we going to prepare our kids for fill in the blank, right? And so for the sex stuff, it's like, hey, from an early age, we all went all in and we did the Mary Flo Ridley stuff, which is like, how do you teach your kids about sex when they're in kindergarten? and everything's got a seed. You just start. She's got like age-appropriate ways to talk with your kids about sex. You know, and then we've done the passport to purity. Like all of this is in the passport. How do you think about what are you going to do when your you know, kid on the bus has pornography in her? What are you going to do? We have been thoughtful about how are we going to plan for the present and the future with our kids. So here's three next steps, okay? The big picture is how are you going to have people present that watch your kids that can help give you counsel in all these different areas? Ask for feedback. Ask people around you, hey, what do you think I'm doing well? What do you think I could do better here? Okay. When you invite people into your world to give you feedback, most people are thinking it. They just want permission to tell you. Okay. And even a fool that gives you feedback is insightful. Okay. Model hospitality. Okay. Most of us did not grow up with people having, you know, our parents having people in their house. This could be a neighbor. This could be anything. But when you have other people in your house with their kids, okay, you get to see their kids and they get to see your kids. And it is going to be helpful. Third, just commit to do accountability with a couple or a community group. If you're not in a community group, okay, find one couple to go, hey, can we grab dinner this week? Can you guys come over? Can we start doing accountability together where you're with them and with their kids?